Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are having a good week so far. So, it's Christmas time, and I guess this is going to be the last podcast for the year, so I wanted to make it a good one, and well, of course I'm going to say that. They're all good. Made in Paris, she is a DJ producer from Australia, based in Sydney. I've known Paris, I think we worked out on the podcast, about 10 years. Met her at a show. When she was in a duo, she was DJing the same night as me, and we've just kind of stayed in touch ever since. She writes amazing techno and kind of melodic-y, housey techno stuff. She remixed my record, My Church, with MK, and I absolutely love the remix that she did. She absolutely destroyed it, and it was just an absolute honor to have her on. So I thought I'd get her on the podcast. I think this is the longest we've ever spoke. And it's just was really nice to catch up with her. I haven't seen her in a long time. We've only just been like talking through social media and text messaging. So it was really good to have her on. So without further ado, Made in Paris. And we are live. Paris, how's it going, mate?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's been years since I've seen you.
I know. Too long.
I was just trying to work this out. I think the last time I saw you was when you, Jack, and myself went for a burger in Sydney.
Ah, yes. That's right.
And this was literally like... When was it? It has to have been like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I reckon. It doesn't feel like that long since I've seen you, but it would have been that long since I've seen you for sure.
That's wild. I've known you for quite a while now.
I know. How weird is that?
Super weird, because like you're in Australia and I never see you. But
I know. But it's good that we keep in touch.
Definitely. How old were we when we? Because we met at Chinese Laundry.
Yeah, babies. I was still like doing like little gigs with Jack then.
Yeah.
And my solo career hadn't really like kicked off much at that point.
What were you called then?
Yeah, what has changed?
What was your like artist duo name then?
Nightwalkers.
That's it.
I didn't I didn't start off doing Nightwalkers with her. Like, I had my solo thing first.
Yeah.
But then when I met Jack, we kind of just had this, like, really great connection. And I remember the first night that we met, she was DJing at this club. And it was kind of like you didn't really hear that many female DJs doing more underground, unheard of, like tracks and stuff, playing them and everything. And I was just like, what, who is this girl? Yeah. Like on the scene. I was like, what the hell? And then I was pretty drunk and I was like, just dancing behind her. And then I was like, she finished. I was like, cause I was like pretty much dancing with her the whole time she was playing. And I was like, this is awesome. And then after that, we just like started talking. Like we had never met each other, went outside, had a drink together, just got chatting away and really connected. And by the end of the night, we just came up with this idea that we were going to become this duo. And, it just like, that's just how it sort of blossomed.
She's our great. How is she? I haven't seen her for ages.
She's really good. I went up and saw her over the weekend as it was her boyfriend's birthday. So it was nice to catch up with her. But it's really sad because she's like 2 hours away from me now, so we don't get to see each other as much. She's hasn't been like doing as much music stuff, but the passion is still there. So whenever we get together, we always talk all things music.
How shit is that though, when you see like one of your mates that you started out doing it with, kind of step away from it, and you're like, I wish you didn't step away from it because you're so good, but I can't control
100%. It's super hard. Like I'm like, oh, you need it, but like I think I can tell she's already missing it, and she's starting to like think about getting back involved with the, like with the scene, or just with having music is like very important to her, I guess. And that makes sense. So she's working on some stuff to like have it a part of her life still, I guess.
That's amazing.
Maybe not in the sense of like DJing, but yeah.
That's cool. How's Australia in this wild time?
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty lucky compared to a lot of the world.
Yeah.
In the sense that we had some like laws in pretty quickly, and things didn't escalate too crazily with like numbers of corona, and we've had like little hotspots and stuff. But it's been kind of just a whirlwind. Like it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but so many ups and downs. Like one minute we're seeming like we're going good, and then next minute there'll be this outbreak and everyone's like getting crazy about it. But it's been good to write music, but then also hard with inspiration at times as well.
Yeah. Have you, have you got through that with the whole inspiration side of things? Because for me, it's like, I've written a lot, but I've written a lot of stuff that probably doesn't sound like me, and also isn't that dance floor kind of. I haven't made any bangers. I've made more like vocal records.
Yeah. I feel like that's becoming like pretty normal across the board with like a lot of artists that I'm speaking to, like that they're making things that aren't necessarily so banger-ish, if you will, like club ready or something. I don't know. But, I think giving people music that they can listen to that will resonate with them, not just in a club setting, is what a lot of artists are tending to do. And I think I've been doing that myself as well a lot. Yeah. And I would have to agree. Like I'm doing that too.
Why do you think
it's kind of cool?
Why do you think you've done it? You've started to do that. Like, is there any reason, or is it just because clubs aren't open?
Yeah, maybe that is, and maybe it's because I'm not getting that inspiration from the clubs at this time. So, like, it's not just coming from there, and I'm listening to a lot more, just like more commercialized type of music, or I don't know, just not your normal club kind of music, I guess. Yeah. A little bit more experimental, electronica stuff, and I tend to like, I do enjoy a bit of pop. I'm guilty for a bit of pop
What? There's no need to be guilty for pop. There's some good pop music out there. What's your go-to in pop?
Sure. I think I really enjoy artists like Benny.
Who's Benny?
I've been getting Benny. Oh, she is amazing. You have to look her up after this. So she's this young female artist from New Zealand.
Okay.
And making very cool pop, bit like alternative kind of, I don't know how else I can explain it, but really, really cool sort of stuff, like just a bit left of center pop, if you will. Yeah.
Okay.
Really, really cool. She's a sick artist. I really vibe her. There's a bunch of like other, I think I've been listening to a lot of like Aussie artists as well.
I was going to say, in Australia, you guys have this like, Australia obviously is on the other side of the world to most people. Mm. And every time I come over there, it's always this kind of, it's like a different bubble, really. And you kind of have different things, and your artists are a lot different to what the rest of the world listen to. And there's kind of like your own type of music scene, which doesn't necessarily always leave. It doesn't really always. Oh my God, I can't talk. I just did this crazy gym session and I'm absolutely dead.
This is why I asked for if we could do this time, so I could go and do my gym session after.
Oh, I've done two sessions today. I did like a heavy leg session.
I stitched you up.
Yeah, I did like a heavy leg session, and then
I get you
at like, that was at like 9 this morning, and then I just did a CrossFit session, and I'm just dead.
Oh gosh.
Just like,
yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is that Australia has this scene where you can be huge in Australia, like on another level huge, and no one know you really in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
What's that about?
I feel like this has a lot to do with Triple J. So, like, one of the biggest radio stations within Australia. And they really spotlight a lot of good Aussie acts. They are big on Aussie music. And I think the majority of people that are within the electronic scene will listen to Triple J as well. Like, it's a pretty cool like radio station, supporting like up and coming artists and stuff like that as well. But it's kind of like, everyone has this saying, once you make it on Triple J, you've made it in Australia. And really? That's like, this is a thing. It's weird. I don't know if there's something like that anywhere else in the world.
So I guess in the UK we have Radio 1.
Which
is kind of similar, but I think once you've made it on Radio 1, I don't know because Radio 1 is kind of split. You have like specialist radio in Radio 1, so like you have your Pete Tong, Annie Mac, Danny Howard, Annie Nightingale. You have all of the specialist DJs that play on Friday nights and weekends, but you can get a lot of support from them, but you're not necessarily going to get daytime radio.
I think that's kind of pretty similar with Triple J too. Like you have Friday night mix up and like, Saturday night mixes as well and stuff like that.
What did Triple J play in the day?
But then they're pretty open, like they're pretty broad when they play in the day. So they'll play from anything from like pop stuff to indie stuff to like metal stuff to electronica, like dance. They're big, on supporting dance music as well. And they usually get around a lot of the festivals and stuff within Australia. So I think they heavily influence what most Australians listen to.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to Radio 1 then, I would have thought. Because we have Kiss, we have Kiss, we have Capital Dance now. So Capital FM is like this huge commercial station. If you get playlisted on Capital FM daytime, you know you're like making money.
But
they've just opened a Capital Dance, which is like, I think it's digital only, but it's just a dance. They just play house music. But it's Mr. Jam that's kind of the head guy there. But of course, it's Capital, so it has to be a little bit more commercial rather than like super underground. Is there like a really big underground scene in Australia? Because like for me, going out touring over the years, like Sash Sundays in Sydney,
That's still going.
And then like I remember playing for them and it was a wicked vibe. I love that party. And Revs as well. Revs in Melbourne, that's the best.
I think Melbourne is the capital for like underground music, with Sydney runner up. And then there's little pockets around the rest of Australia as well. In most cities, you'll find there's like, a pocket for underground music. It's forever growing, I think, especially from when I started. And I pretty much went straight into like more underground sounds for sure. And like with like techno music and stuff like that. That stuff's always like really growing here. I think there's a healthy scene. A healthy scene.
Is it? Because I remember talking to you a few months ago and you were like, realistically, you have to kind of move to Europe, but you love Australia.
Well, I think that's what a lot of Australian artists were doing.
Yeah.
That we can only do so much in Australia. Yeah. I think that's it. And you gotta like eventually, if you want to expand and grow yourself as an artist, you need to like go offshore and build your name even further, I guess. Whereas if you were, because I guess, especially with radio and stuff, it's very, very hard to get like techno music on like Triple J and shit. Funnily enough, that I got a track of mine this time last year on High Rotation on Triple J for the first time ever. Like, it was my first track ever.
Which one was that?
Techno. Like, it was like, pardon?
Which one was that?
Pursuit.
Okay. I love that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a really big goal to do that. And I don't think I've ever heard a song that dark getting on High Rotation, getting played at 9 a.m. on the radio. And everyone is like sending me messages like, what the hell is this filthiness on the radio? And I'm like, I'm on my way to work and I'm like, I'm ready to go to a rave. Like, it was just so surreal. But it was cool. It was really cool of them to get behind me for that track and just be like playing that at all times of the day for a few months there was pretty sick. But that's really like, that's very rare. And when you do hear them playing like a more underground track on like high rotations or like throughout the day and stuff like that, it's like yes. Whenever I hear like other artists and stuff like that, I'm like, good on them getting that spot. Like it's great. But yeah, I guess that's where it like kind of becomes tough to like, yeah, grow any further.
Yeah, yeah. How does being on like high rotation on Triple J, how does that turn into gigs? Does that turn into other opportunities? Or is it a case where you're just like, okay, cool, we got there?
I think it's like one, it's like expanding your audience definitely, because I don't even know the numbers of how many people tune into Triple J.
Yeah.
But that grew pretty well, I think, over that like couple of months that I had the rotation. And then it's just, yeah, more exposure. And then also I think just getting respect from the scene as well. Like, and
is that hard? I think in Australia, is it hard to get respect in the scene?
Yeah, I found it very difficult at the start.
Why is that?
I felt, I think when I was starting out, there wasn't really any female artists doing like it within Australia. There wasn't many at all. Like I don't, like there would have probably been some people, but they weren't getting, like I wasn't like hearing about them.
Yeah.
Doing like underground stuff, and it was such a boys club back then, and I felt like it was really hard to be taken seriously, because there was this big stigma and like things about like girls just like using their looks to get gigs and not really like, yeah, so it was like all that type of crap that was going on back then. And I just, because the majority of like that really underground scene just was males, and yeah, that was really difficult for them to take me seriously. But I just stuck it out, and then I just started like smashing out like originals and production and stuff like that. And then once that kind of started being embedded in and getting a bit of like getting noticed a little bit, I think that's when like they were like, oh, okay, she's like, she's actually serious. She's actually she's doing the work.
Yeah.
And then once I started getting a little bit more gigs and stuff like that, they're like, oh, okay. And I would like enjoy it. And yeah, I think it just like blossomed from there. Once I started getting some like proper shows and getting some exposure to some audiences and stuff like that, and people, yeah, let the people speak.
Takes time, doesn't
it?
I guess.
Yeah, but it took a long while, like good like 4 or 5 years or something like that for people to be like, yeah, okay, she's sticking in this, like she's in this.
It's always strange that as well, because I think you were coming up, like when you were coming up, it was the time when like no women were in the industry at all. Or it was very, very rare.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like talked about. And I don't know. It always weirds me out when someone says, like, when a dude says, like, oh, she's only getting booked for her looks. And I'm like, that's just you're just jealous, dude. It's like, you're just jealous because you're ugly. It's like, come on, bruv, like, sort it out. It just weirds me out. Like, I remember when I met you and Jack, and you guys played, didn't you, that night?
Yeah, we did.
And I was listening, and I was like, you two are fucking dope. And, like, it was just so refreshing to, like, see two girls, because it wasn't then, no one was really fucking doing it, like girls weren't DJing then, like
yeah, no, not at all.
And it was like, so,
and like if they were, they're like, the only ones that were being exposed were doing like that more EDM commercial stuff and really putting on more of a performance than like a DJ set,
like tiger, you know, like that.
Jumping up on the tables, yeah. and like wearing like swimmers and things, you know.
Yeah, what's that about?
I don't know. I hate that shit.
I know guys do it as well.
I was about to say, and I hate it when guys do it. Like, it's just like, get off the table and like do shit. Like, I get there's like a market for that, and some people froth on that. Like, and that's fine. That's
I haven't heard the word froth in fucking ages, and then I realized I haven't spoken to an Australian in fucking ever.
I'm Aussie as they come. Aussie as they come.
Okay, on a level to 10, 1 being the less and 10 being the most, how bogan are you?
I would say I would be about an 8.
Okay, so your fish is 10.
Nah, yeah. Like 10 is like you are living out on a farm and you're like, how you going with that? But it, you know, it's so funny, like, when so I think of myself as like pretty Aussie because I grew up like in country, so on some farms and things like that. So I really came from the country and then eventually made my way into like more city. And yeah, it's hilarious when for some reason my sister and I whenever we go back to the like country and to hang out with like family, her husband picked up on this first, and we had no idea we were doing this, but he's like, Crystal, whenever you and Paris like go back like to your family's place, you go really country and you start talking real twangy and shit, and he's like, you get to your auntie's place and you're like, oh yeah, we're just going up to Arnie Tracy's, like real twangy. And I was like, far out. We probably do that.
That's amazing.
Oh god, yeah. It was funny when he mentioned that. I was just cracking up.
You can take the girl out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the girl. Is the saying?
Yeah, that is good.
There's something like about Australians that I just don't understand, and I don't mean that in a horrible way. I'm just like, how are you like that? Like, they fuck. Like, I'm from England, and English people party. Yeah. Like, we party hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Australians take it to another level.
Oh, yeah. We get shit-faced, for sure.
I don't think shit-faced is the right word for it.
We get lit.
But also lit. Like the amount of people that take drugs, like the amount of drugs that gets taken at parties. I'm like,
oh yeah.
It's on another level.
It's on another level. Yeah, some people can go crazy. You're like, how are you still standing?
How are you still alive? Every weekend they do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they do it every weekend. Like, I would die if I did it every weekend.
Also, the thing about Australia is everything just wants to kill you. Like,
yeah.
What is that about as well?
Yeah, that's what, you know, it's so weird when people bring this up because it doesn't cross Australian people's minds, like, at all, that we have all these dangerous things. And then whenever someone, like, a foreigner will come in or like, you'd be talking to, like, a foreigner or something, they're like, yeah, like, everything is so deadly here and stuff, and you're like, oh yeah, it is too. Hey, we just totally forget, like, it's just normal for us. But like, yeah, like, I don't know, down in my mailbox there could be like a redback spider, like, and I could put my hands in there and like I could die, and I just didn't even, you don't even think of it.
Those, is it funnel webs?
Pull out the bin and like a brown snake could just pop out and just get you on the leg.
is it funnel web spiders?
Yeah, we have funnel web spiders too. I don't know where they are, but not, you don't really see them much in the city.
They creep me out.
But do you know, like, I have the biggest phobia for spiders. So, like, I'm with you on that. Like, I can't have, like, a spider in the house. I'll either have to kill it or I'll have to, like, get someone to, like, remove it from the house because I can't.
You get those hunters.
It scares me. Just even talking about it's freaking me out. Like, if I see a spider in the house, like, I'll have nightmares that night, like, it crawling on me.
You
like,
should, because they could probably scary. Kill you. It's probably going to kill you if you have one in the house.
And someone told me, like, some weird fact the other couple of months back saying that we eat spiders in our lifetime in our sleep. What the fuck? Yeah. That's not cool. That is not cool.
Yeah, you eat like 20 or something in your life or something stupid like that. Yes. And you're just like,
fucked up.
It's fine in England. They're just like daddy long legs. I'm fine with that. But in Australia, it's just like.
Oh, yeah. Them ones are okay.
It's just fucking awful. And snakes. Yeah. Oh.
See, I don't really care for snakes, but spiders will get me.
Do you know what I don't understand? When people have spet. Oh, fuck, I can't talk. When people have pet spiders and pet snakes. What the fuck?
Yeah, no. I don't. Like, snake, whatever, but spider, no.
No, not
snakes. I
remember
my brother actually bought us pet snake once. And, like, and then I don't know what happened to it. I think it got, like, out and then it just roamed around and then it was just gone. But it was still a baby at the time, so I wasn't really worried. I think it was, like, only, like, that big.
I've got a friend in Atlanta and she's, like, super nice, really, like, pretty girl. Like, super hot, like, on another level, like, an 11. Okay. But she has pet snakes. I'm like, nope. Can't do it. Can't be friends with you. I'm sorry. She's like,
that's so great. I love that.
She's like, Jeannie, like, get rid of the snakes. And then she just buys another one. And I'm like, what? Just don't get it. And then she like puts them around her neck and stuff like that. And I'm like, why? Why are you doing this?
No, I wouldn't like that.
Have you heard those like
funny
heard those like snake stories when they wake up and the like snake is like next to them, like trying to like measure up the if they could swallow that?
Yes.
Like that gives me goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard those stories. They're scary. Very scary.
I guess you don't really see much in the city, though. Like, it's more country stuff in Australia, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I haven't seen... Oh, actually, no, I did see a snake not long ago. I was traveling up north and I was driving on this, like, dirt road to this beach with a friend. And there was the biggest snake. I can't remember what type of snake it was. I don't know. Oh, I think it was like one of those big diamond sort of looking ones.
What do you do? What do you do? Do you run over it?
I swear, no, we had to stop because it took up the whole road. Oh. That's how long it was. From one side of the road to the other.
Fuck
and
that.
We had to wait for it. And then some other guy was coming the other way in his car. So he stopped. And we're both just like doing like that Mexican thing. We're like who's going to get out of the car? Like, or yeah. And then he ended up getting out of the car and we're like, good boy. Like you do that. And then, but he was so scared. He was so scared. He got a stick from inside the road and like went to like trying to just touch its tail to make it move, like to get it to move on. And then it moved and he's like, he literally jumped and it was like, we're just cracking up at him. And then eventually it just like went off into the bush. But it was fucking huge.
He has got bigger balls than me. I would have run that fucker over. I wouldn't have given like fuck that.
No, it was pretty but it was a pretty snake. Oh, I don't know. I find them memorizing in a way.
They are
the
pretty
way
amazing.
That they move and stuff.
Yeah. They are amazing. Yeah. But
spiders aren't amazing. Spiders can get fucked. They're not cute at all.
You have those huntsmen. Is it the huntsmen?
Yeah, I don't like huntsmen. They're pretty regular. Like, you can see them around a lot, and I just don't like them.
There was a guy.
I pretty much cry when I see one.
There was a guy that used to work at Ministry in Detroit. Jordan. Do you know Jordan?
Black guy. I don't think so.
Black guy. Jordan. I think his name's Jordan. When I was there the second time, I think my second tour, when I was there, he went back one night to his family's place and there was a massive one on his ceiling and they pushed it down with a broom and it just like ran. And I'm like, he showed me a video.
Yuck. Don't talk about them running. No thanks.
They're just hairy and minging. Maybe it's like me.
Yeah,
like
the hair freaks me out. It's gross. It's so gross.
Yeah, fuck Australia. Too many things to kill you.
Are you keen to come back after
our
chat?
Yeah, can't wait. I was actually there like just under a year ago.
Actually. I know. I think I was out of town when you were in Sydney.
You were Berlin, weren't you? Or America.
I think so.
Yeah.
Either that or I was like down in Melbourne.
Oh, were you at a wedding?
Doing a show. No, I think I was like doing shows in Melbourne or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember now.
So can you regularly tour in Australia?
You can. I think that I've just gotten... It's kind of weird. You get to this point where you do all the clubs and then you start doing, and then you get starting being booked for like all the festivals. And then clubs just become more of a irregular thing. I think when you get to a certain point of your career, it's like you don't, because the market is like small here, you can't oversaturate yourself in all the clubs all the time, which I love playing a club show. But you just got to be, I guess, mindful of
overdoing it,
making those moments very special to your audiences and, not overdo it.
What's your favorite place to play in Australia?
Club-wise? I did really love playing at Rev's as well. That was pretty special night. Well, afternoon, actually. It was like a Sunday arvo. But it was like full sold out, packed, everyone just like jumping around. That was pretty special. I've had some good nights in couple of like Civic Underground. I played a really fun show there. Actually, also 77 in Sydney. Like, it's this intimate club and everyone gets so sweaty and it's just dark and dingy. I love that. I love those like more intimate club shows way more than the big club shows.
Yeah, totally.
Where people are right in front of you. And you're just vibing. You can feel their energy, and it's just like you're sweating, you're dancing with them. Those moments are like so special to me, for sure.
Yeah, I haven't had that many. Like, my touring in Australia is like, I'm not big in Australia at all, so I always like struggle coming over to tour. But I'm like always, I'm always like,
oh, I'm. You've got a bit like. You're pretty big here.
No, I'm not.
I'd be like,
I'm telling the truth. I'd say if it was like, if oh, it was but good.
Yeah, compared to like how you're doing over there, maybe. But yeah, it's kind of weird, I guess. Australia can be weird like that.
It's weird, but I want it to do well so badly, which makes me just keep coming back because I'm still like craving that, like, just. I want to throw a fucking amazing party somewhere and just be amazing. Like Revs, the second time I played Revs, it was just like unbelievable night. And now they won't book me because I'm not cool enough. Motherfuckers.
Really?
Yeah. I can't get booked there for shit.
Wait, do you know, okay, well, if to put your mind at ease, I only played at Revs for the first time last year. And I have been DJing in Australia for 8 years now. So it took me 8 years to get that gig.
Kind of makes me a little bit mad though. I think I absolutely love what they've done there. Love it. And I really respect it. But it's, again, it's like the fucking boys club. It's just this click, which I'm kind of like, even if they booked me every year, but all my mates that came and toured Australia didn't get booked, I'd still say the same. So it's not the fact that they just don't book me. It's like, you're like probably one of the coolest artists, like female artists out of Australia. And it takes you fucking 8 years to play there. Like, fuck you. Like, that annoys me so much.
Yeah, it was very frustrating. I don't know. Melbourne people are very clicky, very, very clicky.
Yeah.
Much more than Sydney, I would say, for sure. It took a long while for me to be acknowledged and stuff down there. And now Melbourne's are my biggest audience in Australia. It's so funny.
But
it took a while because they're very, very clicky. They like supporting their artists from down there as well. They're big on that. So to be booking Sydney acts and stuff like that. Yeah, you gotta be really getting noticed. You really gotta make them turn their heads in some way.
I think the thing is Sydney's like a London. It's like a major city obviously it's in Australia. It's a beautiful city, but you go to the city center in Sydney, and you could be in any other city really in the world. It's kind of like those major city vibes that you just get in every major city. Whereas Melbourne's a little bit more community orientated that I find. I could be completely wrong, but it just feels...
No, you're bang on.
It just feels like Melbourne people stick together.
Yeah. 100%. I think a lot of foreigners and stuff like that will be more in Sydney than Melbourne too. So, yeah, kind of. A lot of people come in and out of Sydney a lot more, I would say, than Melbourne.
What's your thoughts on Perth?
Perth's cool. I like Perth. It's just on the other side of Australia, so it's a bit of a bitch to get to.
Yeah.
I love playing there. It's fun. It's the scene for more my sound is not very big there. It's very small, very niche for them. More house and stuff would be a bit bigger. And then they like bass music and stuff like that is huge over there.
It's more like commercial as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
yeah, for sure.
Also, a shit ton of English people that live in Perth.
Yeah.
What's that about?
No, you're not wrong. I don't know. I don't know that about.
It's weird.
I haven't dived deep enough into that city, I don't think, I've played probably just a handful of times there. So,
my cousin lives there.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was out there last time, I was just like, wow, why is it? There's more English people than Australians. Like, you're just down the street and you're like, they're English. They're English. I'm like, what's this about? Is it I don't know. I know there's a lot of construction that goes out there, and I know a lot of people go out there and do construction. Hey, this is the weird thing when I came to Australia. So in construction in the UK, well, pretty much in most other countries, you don't ever see women working in construction. And in Australia, like, you see it a lot.
We got the women.
Like, yeah. You see it a lot.
We're not afraid. We're not afraid to get our hands dirty, us women over here.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's like in the high-vis vest.
I like it too. I like it too when I'm like driving past like someone and like it's just like a girl in a high-vis just like fucking going in. Like, yeah.
It's kind of hot.
I think.
Kind of into it.
Should be like a music video.
I think Benny Benassi did that with Satisfaction, didn't
he? Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Oh, mine's in the gutter. Yeah. One of my mates actually from Sydney, Laura, you might know actually. She's an electrician in Wollongong.
Okay.
And like,
quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's probably be about 10 women electricians in the whole of the UK. And it's so strange, but it's so cool to see. I like going when you're like walking Sydney at night and they're doing the construction at night and then you've got like these women holding the flags up and I'm like, this is so cool. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you also get paid.
Yeah. I was going to say, the money's good.
Yeah.
For that. So yeah, I guess like it's just like women here are like pretty tough. Like I would say they're not like, yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but yeah, I do agree with you. Like a lot of, there's like probably a lot more women here that do, tradie jobs and construction and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's cool. Would you ever move to Europe for like a period of time? I know you want to be back in Australia eventually, but would you do it?
Yeah. I mean, I've like thought about this. I don't know. Like I would really, I get homesick very easily. Like I was overseas. Was it last year? Yeah. Last year, like London and Berlin and Amsterdam. And I was overseas for, 8 weeks or something like that. And that was hard. I really struggled with that.
What do you struggle with?
I think like family. Like I love my family. I'm big on family. I like to have my family around me all the time. And I think that's probably the most thing. I love Australia. I don't think I would ever move anywhere permanently, but I would like if it means like benefiting my career, I would do like 6 month stints maybe. Yeah. I'd like summer stints, I guess. Do Europe summer. I've already like spoken to that about that to my manager. And because that's something that we will probably have to maybe look into in the near future, like as tours become, if well, if tours become more
when the tours come on, girl.
when Jeez. I know I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, you shouldn't say if. Who are you?
Who am I? Jesus. No, I'm that's what, yeah, no, thank you for correcting me. when that starts happening more, because like I kind of went the opposite way around. I started touring in the US first, and for my kind of music, it's kind of a bit different, but the market there is a bit smaller for like, well, it was when I started touring. It's kind of gotten, it's really grown actually.
It's huge.
For like techno music and stuff now.
It's huge.
Isn't it?
It's massive. And the thing that I love about America is that the people that go to the raves, I don't want to call them kids because they're not really at all. But
yeah, I always call them kids too.
Yeah, I'm like,
I don't know why.
We're not like, that yeah, old. Kids. How old are you now?
I'm 29.
Jeez. When are you 30?
How old are you?
I'm 30.
Huh?
I'm 30 now.
I'm 30 in like 6 months, so I'm not far behind you. Did it freak you out turning 30? Are you obviously still freaked out about being 30?
It's really weird because I was actually talking to a mate about this the other day. I was talking to no, that's a lie. I wasn't talking to that person. my brain is just not working right now. But I was talking like I don't know if you ever had it, but I had it kind of coming up through the industry, and it was like, oh, you're so young, you've got so much time, you're so young, you've got so much time, you're so young, you've got so much time, blah 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 blah. Now I'm the one saying that to other people.
Oh, yeah.
Cause,
I know.
But then when I sit down and think, like, most of the people that are extremely successful, apart from the, like, anomalies, which there's always going to be ones, but most of them don't get successful until they're, like, 35, 37.
You've really studied that, haven't you?
I have. I really have. Because
you've worked out the average.
Yeah. And I have because I think there's a reason behind this. But yeah. I think it's because you're just more grounded as a person.
Yeah. And I think I personally think that over, especially for underground music, it's respect gets gained over a longer period as well. The more you've been in the game, the more respect you'll have. And I think that that's one of the great things about why I love the scene that we are in compared to like commercial is like, so it's so like spiky. Like, it's like, you just could be so young, make a hit, spike up.
Yeah.
You're crazy. You're young. You're hot. It's like, looks more matter in that scene.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you can just drop off and then you could become just this old person that no one respects. And whereas in the underground scene, most of the big players are, they're well into their 40s, I would say even. Like
50s,
definitely. Yeah, and 50s, they're still smashing it. And that is something to be hopeful about for sure. For us,
I think it's like anything. I think people that have proper jobs don't realize, like, to become successful in a proper job, okay, you have to work through, you have to start at the bottom, or you get your degree and then you start somewhere, and then it takes years to get to the top, right? If you ever want to be at the top of a company. It's the same in music. It takes years, but it also takes years or it has for me. I can't speak for anyone else, but it takes years. Mm-hmm. It's taken me years to know where I want to be. I've always known that I want to be the top of the top, but like sound wise, like how I want to like want people to perceive who I am, how much of myself do I want to give to other people. I think there's a thing that, like, and for me this year has been like huge learning for that, where it's been, it's weird, But I think turning 30...
Yeah, time to like reflect on all this.
Yeah, but I think turning 30 is actually like been a good thing for me. I think it is a milestone, and you're like, okay, a lot's happened in the last 10 years. Like if that much can happen in the last 10 years, I actually met you when I was 20, I think.
Yeah. So, well, I would have been around the same as well. Cause we're pretty much,
and a lot's happened. 6th of June.
Oh, so you're like exactly like 1 year older than me. Cause I'm 11th of June.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. let's have a joint birthday party next time.
Let's do it.
Come over in June and we'll put a little birthday tour on.
Not coming to Australia. Fucking kill me, the snakes. but I think it's like a nice, it's kind of like grounding, and for me it was like, okay, I'm 30. Also, I was 30 in lockdown. So you're like, it's very like leveling, and it's very like you are literally nothing. Like for me, it was like, I'm literally nothing. I'm no one. I'm like, no one gives a fuck about me. Like,
yeah,
I'm not playing shows.
I remember there's been periods that I've thought that too. I'm like, who even am I? Like, I don't have shows. I don't have like, I'm not doing nothing. Yeah. And I was like, I'm writing music, but no one can hear it. Someone help me.
It's mad.
I'm like, it really made you like, I guess it really did make you kind of question, like, I don't know, your career, and like make you really want to like hone down on what you want to do when you come out of this.
What do you want to do?
For sure. I really want to get back to playing like shows. I still haven't played a show since March. But I've been writing lots of music and also collaborating a fair bit, which has been kind of cool. I don't know. Like, I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure that out, but I am just looking forward to like sharing all my new sounds with everyone, because I'm just still waiting on that response and to see reactions and the way that they work on dance floors and stuff like that. But yeah, I think like I'm been really open to like probably experimenting a lot more with like production and doing things that aren't just the usual club sounds as well.
Yeah.
Is something that I'm looking into as well.
Do you ever think like when music is all over, like not that it's ever going to be over in our lives, but like when we get to that point in our lives, like do we want to tour for the rest of our lives? Do we like what's next after touring? Do you ever, have you thought about that much during the lockdown? I've thought about fucking every day.
So like if shows weren't happening, I think that I would really want to like work on collaborating with like singers and making kind of cool electronica sort of stuff. Like really been thinking about that a lot lately and just exploring those sort of sounds and kind of like, working with other artists and helping them like craft their sound and input into that. I think that's probably something that I definitely will want to look into. And I also, I really like not just creating music, but like, I would love to like, I don't know, help create, I don't know, venues and things like that. I don't know. I really love kind of business things. And I don't know. There's like a lot of like little inspirations. Like I would love, we don't really have this like in Australia as much as like Europe and stuff, but like creating like cool like cafes with like that, like could be like open late hours and have some like really like cool DJs doing some music and like just like nibbles and like sick food and just creating some sort of sick atmosphere that, or like something that would start like super early and people on like on the weekends could just like kind of kick on there, but like not be like proper kick on, like you know what I mean, like just to wind down, have your last drinks, like sun's coming up, some music playing. I don't know, I love that type of stuff. I always get like real creative in my head.
You should do that, because day party kind of evening parties are the way forward.
Yeah,
they're like
it's so nice.
Yeah,
yeah. It's, and I personally, I don't really like partying and like having to DJ at all hours of the morning, but it's my job, and like it's like that's one thing I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to get back into doing that soon. Like having those couple of hours sleeps and then waking up at 3 a.m. and then heading to a club, and yeah. But that's why I really enjoy playing festivals. Cause like, it's like an evening usually show. Like I usually get like sunset sets and stuff like that. It's perfect. Get to bed at a decent hour. I'm like fresh. Yeah. I like really love playing festivals.
I was literally watching like my, cause on the last tour I did like a vlog and like just filmed everything. And I was just watching the YouTube like series that I did earlier on, and I was like, because we've had like nearly 10 months of routine of sleeping at a good time and training and doing all of that, and then I saw myself on these videos and I was like, fucking hell man, like how did you do it with like 2 hours sleep or sometimes no sleep and then get to another city and then play? And because it's the same in Australia with America, is that the travel time is so much longer than what it is in Europe. Like I can fly to Berlin in like 2 hours and be fine. I can fly to Amsterdam in like an hour. It's super easy. Whereas Australia, like Sydney to Perth is a bitch. It's like long.
Yeah. It's like, it's over 6 hours.
Yeah.
Like Melbourne's sweet. But yeah, Perth. Adelaide's a little bit longer too, and then up north is not too bad. It's all right.
It's long,
but Perth is a bitch.
It's long, and it's the same in the States where like if your routine isn't done, if you're pretty much, if your agent has fucked you over that weekend, you're doing like east coast to west coast and you're like, oh god, this is brutal. But we have the best job in the world, so.
I know. We can't complain. It's pretty amazing to do a job you're passionate about, for sure. Like, sometimes I have to pinch myself to, like, how far I've come.
Yeah.
And, like, I still got, like, heaps further to go. But, like, if you think back to, like, the goals that you had starting out, and to think that I've succeeded those in more, like, just blows my mind. It's and mad, it's good to go back and actually, like, be grateful and appreciate that stuff, because, like, sometimes you just totally forget. And then once you reflect on it, you're like, wow. Like, it was my dream to, like, you know, release on that label, like, and now I'm releasing on that label. Like, it would be my dream to play at that festival. And now I'm playing at that festival. I've played at that festival like a few times now. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Do you think it's for me, I struggle in the moment though to reflect like that and to like enjoy it at the time.
I don't either. Like, I don't really like sit there and be like in awe. I'm kind of like, I don't know. It gets weird because you go, how am I meant to be feeling right now?
Yeah.
And it's just like this, I don't know, I guess our brains just go a bit weird before a show.
Do you still get nervous?
Yeah.
Do you?
I do. I do, but not heaps into the from the lead up. Like, I think it takes a while. Like, only like before, like probably like a few hours before, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be jumping up on there soon. Because like you just get used to being in that environment, so that becomes like really normal and whatever. And that's, I think that's where I was getting at with like kind of like you don't know how you're feeling, because like you like firstly like would normally get really like nervous and stuff pre-heading to the show and stuff like that. Now that doesn't really like happen for me anymore.
Yeah,
like I'm just like, yeah, doing my thing, like, yeah, get to the festival, get to the show, and I'm just chilling out and whatever. And then they're like, okay, you're on in 20 minutes or you're on in 10 minutes. Like, and then that's like when it's like, oh yeah, that's right, I'm playing. And it's like, oh, and then you get like a little bit nervous and like, yeah, everything starts getting a bit of a rush and stuff. But it's good to have that still. You got to have that.
I love that you have that, because I don't. It's only certain shows that get me. But I'm doing a show in London in January. It's like a social distancing. I don't even know if it will happen because of coronavirus. But
yeah,
I'm nervous about that now.
Yeah.
And I think it's just more so. I'm like, you have that like.
It's been a while.
It's been a while and I haven't played in London for a very long time. Like.
Yeah, right.
Maybe like 3 years.
So, yeah, wow.
Yeah, I don't really play in the UK, which sucks. They don't like me in the UK.
Why is that?
What?
Is that just because like your style of music isn't like that huge there, or?
I'm just not in the UK clique.
Yeah, right.
Really. We're working towards it.
But
I just don't want to be, and this isn't disrespecting anybody that is what I'm going to say, but I just don't want to be part of, I don't want to do what I did with Dirty Bird in the UK. So like in America, Dirty Bird like gave me a huge platform and it allowed me to get to where I'm at today, and I would never take that away. But I would never headline a Dirty Bird show, if you know what I mean. A bit like I would never headline a Dirty Bird festival. I would never do any of that because I'm not the owner of Dirty Bird.
Yeah.
And I want to grow a career for myself that I can run everything and I can do it all myself.
I get what you mean. So like, yeah, you want to have your own branding. You don't want to be like a branch of a brand.
There's no longevity in it.
And that's good. That's a good way to do it as well. Like,
I think,
for
I think you, I mean, still have to have, you have to have the associations.
Affiliations are like important, but above all, making sure that your artist, brand, speaks the loudest.
Yeah. Which is tough in a world, especially now when I think the brands are stronger than anything, really.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, you get booked because you're on this label, not because of your music, which is weird to me. Mm. It's really weird to me. Like, I was talking to, do you know OC and Verd?
Yeah.
I was on the phone to them earlier and they were like, yeah, our agent told us that if we sign to this label, we'll get booked in Germany. We signed to this label and we got loads of bookings in Germany. And it's like, why? What are the promoters not? They're not going to listen to music. They're just looking at a brand that they know sells tickets and kind of. For me, I'm not a promoter and I would suck as a promoter. But for me, it's just like, what are you? There's something not right here. You're in the music industry, but you're only interested in a brand rather than the music.
I think that's really big in Europe. Hey,
it's huge.
Like that. Yeah, definitely. It's kind of weird, hey?
Especially in the underground scene.
Pardon?
Especially in the underground scene.
Yeah, definitely.
My one of my mates, Oon. Do you know that Oon? He's like a tech, like super like Berlin techno vibes.
What's his name?
Oon. UUN. Anyway, you should check him out, it's really hard techno, like insane. He's released on Maud and Slam's record label and things like
okay.
that. But he lives with me in Detroit, and mm-hmm. he's the same. It's like all of his shows are in like Germany pretty much, but
yeah,
the minute you sign to like a record label, you start getting shows. And you're like,
yeah.
I get it to a certain extent, but are these promoters, what are they doing? Like, listen to music.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be the music. Be all and end all.
No. But maybe it's not the promoters. Maybe it's the people that go to the parties.
Yeah, I think that too, for sure. It's kind of weird, yeah, because it's just something very big in the very underground scene.
Associations.
Yeah. I
get it. It's never going to change at the end of the day.
No.
We can just moan about it.
But that's what, but if you can make your own branding even bigger, then that's key.
Well, I just also think we live in this digital society now, and you sign a record, like, for anybody that doesn't know, you sign a record to an independent record label, like, you give 50% of your record away, right? And they own the masters for 10 years, sometimes for lifetime. And then that record gets released and it does nothing. And then you're like, just given 50% of something that I've worked my ass off and it's done nothing, why don't I just do it myself?
Yeah.
And that was kind of the thing. It's like waiting for record labels to sign music, waiting for like a record label. You know how it is. You sign a record and then they're like, oh, it's not coming out until 9 months. And it's like, well, come on, man. Like, I can't organize my touring around, I have to organize a tour, like, and I want music to come out at the same time. Like, that's why I started my own label. So much fucking easier.
But that's why I started my own label.
What's your label called?
Upon Access.
Oh, I like that name. Are you signing other artists?
Pardon?
Are you signing other artists?
Yeah. I've been signing more so up and coming Australian artists, like doing like pretty similar vibes to me, and like also trying to get some like more Europeans and stuff like that on the label. I've only had it for a couple of years, but it's not something that I'm investing all my time into.
Yeah.
It's just something really nice for me to have this little platform that I can put some different creativity to, and then also for like releasing my own music when I need to, like you're just talking about, in those kind of ways where you really just want it out at a certain time. You don't want to have to mess around with another label. You want to be the one in control of it. It's great in that sense. And then also just there's something really great about pushing other people's music out there into the world. I really enjoy that. There's something really nice about doing that. So, I don't know what will be of my label, but it's just chugging along nicely. Like I'm still undecided, like where I see it going in the future, I guess.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah. You don't need to always have a bigger plan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know if I have a bigger plan for it just yet, or if I like it how it's just really niche and small and just chucking, like, I'm only releasing like four or five releases a year on it. So, and that's like sweet for me. But if I was to like take it to another level, I need to bring more people on board and stuff like that. But at the moment, it's cool for me being just a little side project.
That's cool.
If you will. Like, yeah.
As long as you enjoy it, as long as it's not causing a hassle, and I think that's the thing.
It brings me happiness, and that's what's important about it. So, it's there to stay for now.
Definitely. Talking about production, I forgot to say thank you for doing the remix.
That was awesome. Thank you for asking me, because that track is just. It's fire. It's so good. Like, when you sent that to me, I was like, damn. I was like, holy shit, this is like some real fucking techno stuff. Like, this is really sick. So, yeah, I was stoked to remix that for you. And, pardon?
You killed the remix. Like,
oh, thank you.
I fucking love the remix a lot. And
I can't wait to play that. Like, that's like one of the productions that I've worked on this year that I haven't played yet. That's probably like really up there with like me like looking forward to playing that out.
It's gonna slap. Shows.
I think it will work really well, and just like the cool vocals and stuff like that, and that just like that nice like break. I could just see it working so well at like a festival or something like that.
It's gonna pop.
Really, really revving up like the crowd will be sick. I'm really looking forward to that.
It's really strange because it's so shit releasing dance music right now, because it just like doesn't resonate on social, on like download sites, and you're just like, I want everyone to hear this. And algorithm sucks so much on Spotify and Apple, and it's just like it takes the fun out of it, especially now, because it's like you've got this fucking amazing record. Like, even with the original, for me, like the original, I was like, if we put this out when clubs were open, it would be doing like double what it's doing now.
Yeah.
And you're just like fighting so much, and then I pinch myself and be like, fuck the numbers. Like, it's a fucking great record, and the remix, like all the remix packages are so good that on this record. Like, I'm really happy with it, and like, you're like, I always wanted to work with you just because I've known you for years, and like, I just wanted to get you on board, and like, thank you. I can't thank you enough. It's amazing.
My pleasure. I'm really grateful for us to actually get some collaborative stuff together, and like, I hope it just blossoms into more things down the track for sure.
Like, 100% we have to like work on some stuff. I'll send you some techno stuff, and then you can make it sound good. And I don't know the music I'm releasing next year is like, I'll send you some stuff, but it's like, I think it's all over the shop. It's a little bit all over the shop.
That's how I feel about mine too. Don't worry. I think it's just we're in a totally different state of mind and environment to not our usual. And it's just weird. And I don't know if the people, like, what the people are going to like.
Exactly. This is the thing that scares me.
And then I come to a wall and I'm like, I should just stop producing music, because like, I don't even know if it's like going to be likable, like what I'm doing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there was a record that I wrote over the lockdown. Well, it was written by me and three other people. Really fucking good record. Like, if I do say myself, it's fucking amazing. But one of the writers is being a dickhead, and it's not coming out now. But then I like listen to it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm actually kind of glad that that's not coming out, because it's so far away from what I do. And I think I think there comes a point when you're like, it's okay, it's totally cool to go and do different things, but I don't want people to think that I'm trying to write a hit, rather that I want to just write a good record and it to do well. I think this record, people would be like, yeah, he's just trying to fucking go commercial. And I'm like, I'm not trying that, if you know what I mean. I'm just writing records.
Yeah. You're experimenting and broadening the experiences and stuff like that. And not everyone's a sellout for wanting to like do that either. Yeah. Because that's something that I would like to, like things that I would like to explore. Like some people might take it in that sense as well, but
I've got some records.
As long as you stick to your roots, it's completely fine for you to explore. And that's something that I've always really have taken pride in. Like, even though most of my records are, like, they're pretty underground, but I don't have a strict sense of taste.
Yeah.
Like, I go from, like, really chill, deep house stuff to, like, proper more techno things.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't have an issue with that. And some people may, but I don't know. Some people say so in their lane, and that bores me.
I couldn't do
it. That feeling.
I couldn't do it.
It's about,
I get
like,
bored.
How you feel. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Sometimes I'm feeling like light, and I'm just feeling like, just like really like chill, and I just want to like make like nice music like that. And then some days I'm just like, I'm just ready to like make something that's just going to make me just go, oh, like just,
no, I agree.
You know, like get that feeling just like, yes, just want a fist pump. Like,
it does amaze me when there's artists that just write the same song over and over again.
Yeah. And it sounds completely same sounds, same bass line, yeah. Same kick.
But that's when I kind of think, I'm like, are you doing it for the right reasons? You either fucking love this sound so much, or are you doing it for the reasons that you're on a record label and you're getting paid?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand it either.
Just make good music, people.
Yeah.
Right. We've just done an hour and nearly 20 minutes, and you've got to go work out. And
yeah,
I've got to eat my dinner. It's 8:45 and I haven't eaten yet.
Oh, yes. Well, Will makes you hungry.
Exactly.
Needs to go eat his dinner.
Paris, before we go, how can people follow you and all of that on
My socials is at Made in Paris Music. That goes for Instagram. I think that's like Facebook as well, or just look up Made in Paris. My website's madeinparismusic.com. And, yeah, that's pretty much it.
And you have some new merch out, I see.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Got some merch happening. Looking to get some more as well. Might do some bucket hats or something like that.
Bucket hats are so Australian.
Yeah. I love a bucket hat. So if you love a bucket hat as much as me, yeah, keep your eyes peeled, folks.
I look like, if I wear a bucket hat, I look like a crazy redneck American. I look like...
Is that because you have the big beard?
Yeah.
And then, I could picture that. Yeah.
I look like I'm going to murder everyone. And like,
I am so going to send you a bucket hat when they come in, for sure.
But genuinely, I actually really like your merch. I saw it, and I don't often like artist merch because it always looks a bit cheesy. But yours looks cool as fuck. And your logo is cool as fuck.
Yeah. My friend Pat, he runs Motoric in Australia. But yeah, he is just crazy graphic designer, and I guess we've been working really well together. He's been doing like a lot of stuff for me working on art and stuff for like upcoming releases, like my Extortium release and stuff that's going to come out in start of February, I think. But yeah, we're working really well together, and he just understands
what you want,
my visions. Yeah,
it's cool,
which is sick. So yeah, I really love what he's the work he's doing for me.
Keep that up, mate. So yeah. Good to speak to you. Thanks so much for coming on.
You too.
Keep safe.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great Christmas.
Oh yeah, Merry Christmas, and have a great New Year's as well.
Cool. Love you, mate. Take care. Keep safe.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cool.
Thanks for that, mate. That was good. Let me just hit stop.
Nice.
Stop. And that is done, people. I can't believe we are at number 40 on the podcast already. Where's this year gone? First of all, huge love to Paris for coming on. Go follow her, go check out her music. She's unreal, and she's going to be doing some big things in the future. But I want to say a big thank you to all of you for listening for this year. I hope you have a great Christmas and a great New Year, or whatever you celebrate. Just have the best time with your family, friends, or anything like that. I will be back after the new year. Keep safe. Love you lots. See you soon.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.